Turn my mic up. Take this. Yeah, yeah, on the road to the riches. Life takes a toll like bridges. Good friends become foes and snitches. Better watch who knows in your business.
All right. Hustle fam. We are back with another amazing episode. And today I'm here with my good friend, Mr. Dan Rice from Manifest, one of the major conferences in our industry. Dan, what's going on today, sir?
Not too much. Just, you know, enjoying a little Happy New Year time with the kids being back in school. Everyone's back in the office, so it's nice and quiet here. Just crunch time right before the show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As you said, I know this is crunch time. We have the big show coming up. February, what is those dates?
It's February 5th to the 7th.
February 5th to the 7th. This is our third Manifest? Third Manifest event. As you guys know, if you have been under a rock for the last 3 years, man, Manifest is one of the major industry events for transportation and logistics, tech and so forth and so on. So we want to kind of talk about events today, man. You know, we do our event Freight Fest. You guys do Manifest. You guys do an amazing job there. And you are one of the instrumental parts in putting that show together. So definitely wanted to talk about Manifest, what's coming up, what people can expect. But I also wanted to kind of get into the economics and what goes into, creating a show such as Manifest at such a high level. So let's talk about it first before we get started. Let's talk about your background, man. How did you get involved with Connective and get involved with Manifest to begin with?
Well, going a little bit back in history, I have no background in supply chain whatsoever. I actually, my claim to fame is I dropped out of college when I was studying business during a supply chain segment because supply chain is boring. And here we are. But my background, aside from being in the military, after that, I worked mainly in like hospitality, customer service, really like customer facing sales roles. More so in like restaurants, hotels and such, but I really wanted more of that work-life balance, and eventually I answered a job ad for another event company that you and I both know that ran another event, landed there in around 2012, helped launch a show in supply chain and transportation for that company, ran it for about 8 years, just grew it year over year over year. And at that point, I started looking at I really fell in love with the industry at that point too. I loved bringing people together, loved the networking aspect, loved walking into an expo hall on setup day and thinking that I helped bring this all together. It's a great feeling. I'm sure you feel that too when you walk into Freight Fest.
For sure. For sure.
So everything's going great. I just wanted to do more with where I was in the industry. I was looking at some of the other big ones out there, like your Shop Talks, your CESs. I wanted to do something experiential on that level. Manifest came along. Manifest used to be known as the Future of Logistics Summit. It was a boutique event put on by a VC out of Miami, invite only, with about 500 or so logistics tech startups and investors and some enterprise. Connective acquired them in 2019 and rebranded as Manifest. So Future Logistics was a marketing partner of mine at my previous company. I reached out to my friends over there to say congrats. And actually, I wanted to pitch them on my own event idea in the corporate wellness space. And they're like, yeah, that's great and all, but come join us instead and do Manifest. And here we are. So just took a chance, you know, left a job where I had a, you know, guaranteed paycheck, benefits, the whole nine, with a newborn at home at the time, to join a startup. And, you know, knock on wood, I mean, everything just really just clicked. We have a fantastic team. You know, Jay's a great leader, great visionary. And we just looked at how can we take logistics and supply chain to the next level? How can we keep on raising the bar, not just for our sector, but for how events in that sector are perceived too. And this is what we continue to do while we continue to evolve the event year over year.
Got it. I love it. So for people who may not know, what is Manifest? If you could put it in a few words, what is the Manifest event about?
So Manifest is the only event that really covers the end-to-end supply chain. So we're talking about everything from manufacturing and procurement all the way through the last mile and everything in between, be it middle mile or over the road, warehousing, port ops, drayage, rail, air. So there's a lot of events out there that each one kind of touches on one piece of the puzzle. We're connecting all the dots. But instead of talking about how can we just get a box from point A to point B faster and cheaper, we're talking about all the technology that's really evolving the entire sector. Robotics, autonomous vehicles, sustainability, a key one now, diversity and inclusion. I mean, there's an entirely new generation coming into leadership in this entire industry, and we want to celebrate that. Machine learning, AI, because AI is a new blockchain. So just all the new technologies that are transforming supply chains. So that's what Manifest is about. At our core, we're a tech show. So putting the spotlight on the startups, putting the spotlight on the new technologies, really curating every piece of the show, the speakers, the sponsors, the exhibitors, to really create that journey for our attendees that they can really discover some exciting new technologies at Manifest and see where the industry is going.
Got it. So connecting the industry from end to end, but from a tech perspective, just featuring where the industry is going, basically.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Nah, I love it. I love it. And when you went, well, when Connective acquired Manifest, how large was the show at that time when it was Future and Logistics? You said about 500 people?
I see about 500 or so people.
Okay. And in your first year, you guys were able to grow it to what?
So keep in mind, we had lofty goals for year one, and then COVID came along because this is why we can't have nice things. And the trade show gods have just been like, hold my beer. I mean, we had COVID. Right. We had recession, Silicon Valley Bank, more recession. I mean, next it'll be like murder hornets coming back again. Who knows?
Not the hornets.
But we ended up having over 1,400 attendees for our first year.
Got it. And that was your first year out. So you basically doubled in size, or really tripled in size.
Yeah, it was a big one. It was a big push. Stressful,
What would you say was the catalyst to that? Did you just expand the audience, or did you just kind of reach out to more people? How did you guys triple in size after that first year, after the acquisition?
It was a number. I mean, a number of us who worked on Manifest, we had a number of previous relationships. And Pam, who's our conference chair as well, she has all of her relationships too. So really just amplified those, got the power of Connective behind it as well too. Organic has been really the way we've grown too. I mean, you don't see a lot of advertising for Manifest or just yelling our praises. It's very organic, very word of mouth. Even when I'm selling sponsorships, it's really just guerrilla. It's just grinding and bring a friend. Hey, you know someone? Well, why don't we bring them too? So just capitalizing those relationships, and it just keeps on growing, because if you invite one person and that one person invites two people and each of those two people invite two people, et cetera, et cetera, it just keeps on growing that way.
That compound effect, right? So, yeah. So when it was Future Logistics, it was in Miami, correct? In Miami, correct. Florida. So what made you guys move to Vegas?
All the events that Connective owns are in Las Vegas, whether it's Blueprint, which is a real estate show, HR Transform, which is our HR event, our original show, InsureTech Connect, which was our biggest. So all the events that we own are held in Las Vegas. It's a combination of ease of travel, especially from international locations, captive audience, things to do where you don't really have to leave. So everything's right there for you.
Got it. Outside of those things that are kind of obvious, I mean, obviously Vegas is like a party town and people love to go to Vegas. So it's a reason to travel. Are there any other business reasons why you would have a host a conference in Vegas?
I mean, those are really the main ones. You know, it's a known entity. They know how to work with events. And look, I've been to events all around the country. I love going to shows in Chicago, one of my favorite cities, except for this time of year. I've been to events in Nashville and in Texas and Florida. It's really the combination of just Vegas being that known center of the universe for events. You know, CES does their big show there. Shop Talk does their big shows there. Money 2020, health. Like, we want to be aligned with that as well too.
Got it. So when you bring a new show to Vegas, what does that kind of entail? Like, you're pitching this show to Vegas. I mean, obviously you have to have the financial wherewithal to be able to, you know, handle it. But are there any other things that, you know, had to go into like saying, hey, we're bringing this show to Vegas. This is what we're looking to do. This is what we're planning. What does that look like to like those large convention halls?
I mean, that's a bit outside of my scope. There's only so much I can really get into on that because I don't touch that at all. So I don't want to speak out of turn. It's really just about going to them because we're not pitching them. I mean, they want the business. So we're going to them with our needs, our plan, the kind of scale we're looking for, the experience we're looking for, the dates we're looking for. And I'm sure there's a number of other factors that play into that, which again, I'm not in the loop on. And we go with which ticks the most boxes.
Got it, got
You
it.
know,
Okay.
and also what's right for, excuse me, the show at the time. You know, year one was in Paris. So it was a good location, the Paris that is, good location, not overly big, but big enough. Year two, we had half of Caesars Forum. Year three, we have all of Caesars Forum. We have over 200,000 square feet of expo. And 2025 through 2027, we've booked the Venetian already. So we're moving there for 3 years. So we're looking to grow. We could have went to Venetian in year two, but we decided it's a jumping from, I want to say, somewhere around 85,000 square feet to over 300,000 square feet. That's taking on a lot of risk also. So we want to be mindful of what's realistic. And, you know, I need sleep once in a while too.
For sure. So basically, you're projecting how large you feel the show is going to be, and based on that size, you're going to go to those halls, the Venetian and so forth, the ones you just now kind of named.
Yeah, pretty much. It's really to see like what's gonna fit us best.
Got it.
You
Got it.
know, how can we best grow the services they offer? There's a lot. Again, there's a lot that goes into it, so I'm not gonna get too in the weeds on that because I don't want to step on other people's toes as well.
Got it. No, I totally understand. So let's kind of get into your wheelhouse a little bit. So when you kind of, were you there from year one when Connective?
Yes.
So you were there from year one. So in kind of building this show out, what was your, how did you look at in terms of monetization? Obviously, you have sponsorships, you have ticket sales. Like, what are you guys thinking about when you kind of go into how you monetize a conference?
I mean, the biggest chunk of money is going to come from sponsorship and booth sales, obviously. Our tickets, as you've probably seen, they're also priced in a way to really attract a higher level audience too, and that's really what Connective and all of our events are for. It's really targeting your VPs, your C-suites, and providing that white glove experience to them. So the prices play into that as well, and providing the food, the entertainment, which we'll talk about the entertainment shortly because I'm sure it's on everyone's mind.
For sure.
But on sponsorships, and you've seen the way the expo is set up, it's we're building these activations for sponsors. We're providing that white glove level of service. So we're pricing things accordingly because we want to bring them value. We want to bring them an experience. We want to raise the bar to what their expectations are too. When I'm selling, I want to know that I'm providing the best experience, the best level of service I can to my sponsors because that relationship is key to us, whether it's someone who's simply purchasing a 10 by 10 booth versus someone who's spending, you know, in the six figures. They're all created equally in our eyes. That we want to keep them coming back because those sponsors are the ones who are paying to keep the lights on and for the show to exist.
That's right. That's right. Were a lot of the same sponsors from Future Logistics, did they come back to support Manifest in that year one?
Yes. And a number of them grew as well. There were some that were there, and then we obviously uncovered more and more. And there's some sponsors who tried us in year one and even in year two and realized it wasn't a fit for them. And that's okay. I think that's one thing that a lot of salespeople in general have a hard time kind of wrapping their heads around, that it's not for everybody. I don't need to sell to every single person I speak to. Would my paycheck like that? Sure. But I've turned away probably about a third of the companies that I've spoken to by telling them we're not the right fit for them or vice
Really?
versa. Because look, if you spend money with us to put up a booth, which costs you X number of dollars plus thousands more to set everything up and whatnot, just to realize that, hey, it's a totally wrong audience when I could have told you that already, no one's going to win from that. I'd rather you buy a ticket to attend or just respect that I'm not just trying to get money from you. Because that's going to add a lot to my credibility and the respect that we have as an event too, that we aren't just a money grab. We want to make sure that the right people are in the room.
No, I love that. I think that's super important. So how does that conversation kind of go? Like when you guys like kind of vetting each other. You guys are going through a series of Q&A and like kind of like what questions are you asking to make sure that they are the right fit for Manifest?
I mean, a lot of that also just comes from experience. You know, I've been in this space now for going on 14 years. So just looking at their website, I can generally have an idea of who is or isn't a right fit just on a first impression. But oftentimes, sometimes someone will change my mind too, or change that perception, which is great. I don't go into a conversation with assumptions of you are, blend many times that yes, they are the right fit, but if someone, I don't think they're the right fit, but I'm open to being convinced. There was one I spoke to recently, and you would probably know them too, Iron Mountain.
I do.
The document shredding people?
Yep, for sure.
They bought a booth at Manifest.
Wow.
Why? Well, why is a document shredding company want to buy a booth at Manifest?
Yeah. Well, I would assume that they're just looking at that they want to see the technology, or maybe they're moving, maybe they have new technology that we don't know about. We probably see them as just a document shredder, and maybe they're doing more than that, right? Or the way they're doing it, right? And they just want to like kind of showcase that.
So they're a 3PL. Just people don't really know about it.
Gotcha.
They want to change that perception. They have a whole separate business unit for 3PL, and that's why they're coming to Manifest.
Oh, wow.
They want, yeah. So I went in there thinking, why the hell are you here? You want to shred paper? I mean, do you want to shred things for? I mean, like, so I appreciate that. There's others I've spoken to that I'm not going to name names, but that I've spoken to that they're not the right fit. And I've been to a number of other shows that you and I have both been to these same shows that I'm walking the floor and thinking, okay, there's a number of folks there that might not be a fit, whether it's because they're not going to add value to our attendees or that we don't have the right attendees for them. And that's fine. You know, we have plenty of other folks out there. There's plenty of other companies out there that make up this ecosystem that there's enough shows for everyone.
Yeah, I got it. How do you, when you're, I mean, in this landscape, there's so many different shows, right? Like there's, you know, like some organizations out there that are like nonprofit, and then there's like, you know, some of the for-profit shows or whatever. How do you guys go about like when you're kind of pricing your shows and for sponsorship and also attendance? Like how do you look at that?
So, I mean, another thing is playing into that. It's you're looking at your food and beverage budget. You're basically figuring out like a cost per person, a cost per square foot, the venue costs, what we can and can't include in booths, with the experience that we want to provide to, and just breaking that down into what are our goals, you know, what's our profit goals, what's our break evens, et cetera, and setting kind of a high, medium, and low revenue goal for ourselves of what we want to hit. And obviously, I want to hit the high one. in some years, it's more challenging than others. But so it's just really breaking it down and finding that balance. But in year one, I also learned something really interesting from Jay, which kind of helped me flip the script a little bit. And that's that profit's not the most important thing, which like, wait, I'm a sales guy. You know, I want the profit. I want to get paid.
Right.
But he really had me thinking about the experience that we're providing too. And we definitely gave some things away in year one because we wanted to build a name for ourselves. We wanted people to come and try us out. We wanted to show the world who we are. And obviously that's been tightened up a little bit over the years, but it's just saying, okay, when is it appropriate to make a concession? And I've even got to bat even as recently as like in the past few weeks to our leadership to say, hey, I think we need to cut this company a break, or let's do this one a favor because I think that they're going to add value to the show. Maybe they can't afford XYZ, but I think we should give it to them anyway because it's going to benefit the show floor.
Got it.
It's going beyond just the dollars and thinking, how will this benefit the show, the experience at the show?
Got it. What shows do you look at for inspiration? Because I know Manifest is a show that I look at for inspiration, right? So what shows do you guys look at for inspiration? And like, who do you think is doing it right and doing an amazing job of scaling conferences?
I think the folks at Hive Group, the ones who own Shop Talk and Grocery Shop, are doing a great job since they're in. And Anil and Simran, the founders of Shop Talk, they're brilliant. I know them well. I respect the hell out of them. The folks behind Health and Money 2020 as well, too. They just do amazing jobs with their exhibition, with their overall theme, you could say, that you walk in there and it's an experience. And that's really like the shows that we as a company look at, especially Hell, we're good friends with the founders of both, and looking at them and how can we mimic that for our sector. Everyone could say CES, of course, but that's an entirely different animal.
Mm.
You know, I look at your shows of scale, like your ProMets and Modexes too, and I've met them when we won some industry awards recently. We were at the awards dinner with the Modex folks. You know, they're talking about their industry awards, and SEMA as well. Same thing. It's just attracting so many people too, but SEMA is both B2B and B2C, so it's a bit more nuanced there. But me, I look at exciting expos. So I look at your Shop Talks, your grocery shops, your CESs. So those are really where I want to see Manifest continually grow into, to be looked at like that.
How large is CES? Like 10,000 plus, right?
I think it's over a million.
Is it that big?
I've never personally been. I want to go, but
it's CES. Over. What does that stand for again? What is that?
The Consumer Electronics Show.
Okay, got it. There's one that I was looking at the other day called Web Summit. Have you ever heard of that one? And like Portugal, something like that?
Yeah.
I think they're like close to like a million too.
Yep. There's also Mobile World Congress as well.
Yeah, man. So
those are the big ones.
So you would like to get Manifest to that level where you're like, there's a million people there at Manifest.
I don't know. I mean,
do you see that for Manifest?
I don't know if that's realistic. Because again, CES, anybody can, it's not an industry specific show. It's, right. And this is not to knock them at all. It's an entirely different model. I mean, Gary Shapiro, the president of the Consumer Electronics Association, brilliant, brilliant person. But it's an entirely different model. So we can't compare. I love to get us to that 10,000, that 20,000 person show, but really being like those leaders of industry and not just retail, but you know, your CMAs are there, your Maersks are there, your MSCs, like all your leaders in industry are coming to Manifest because it is the place where technology and innovation really kind of come together for, you know, the next iteration of supply chains.
Are you able to get there and still maintain your price point? Like still maintain that high ticket and still be able to, at 10,000? Do you think?
I mean, that's the exercise we're going through right now. But I mean, that is the goal. And our insurance event before we sold that was like that as well too. They had, I think, 2019 was the last year that we owned it, and I was there at the time. And I think that they had around 14,000 or 16,000 attendees, and they were still at that higher price point.
Got it. That's amazing. What are some of the biggest challenges with selling an event? Talk about that, because I know I have tons I can talk about. So what are some of yours?
I mean, shockingly enough, it's people who have never heard of us, like Manifest already, but everyone's going to come to that. It's their first time. They want to check it out. Other ones, it's the common one is we want to see the attendee list. Well, we don't give out attendee lists. You know, we'll list out the companies who are attending, but we don't give out a contact list because we also really care about data privacy.
Got it.
You know, we don't want the CEO.
I thought I was the only one who got that. Let me see the attendee list one.
Oh no, everyone gets it. You're not special. Everyone gets it.
I thought I was special.
look, price point obviously is, I mean, I don't want to say we are the highest price out there. I'd say we're fairly in the middle, middle to higher. And so it's overcoming that too, that why are we charging this? You know, what are we giving for this? And that's because we don't just want a sea of 10 by 10 booths. We want people to do more and step out of their comfort zones and step up. And I'm constantly thinking of new ideas, some good, some pretty bad, of sponsorships that we could offer year over year. Like I've got a list of ones that our team rejected of, hey, we should offer this. We're not getting manifest tattoos. Not gonna happen.
No, you are so creative when it comes to sponsorships, man. Like, do you do all that, or are you like taking the, are you finding those in different places and just kind of aggregating them? Like, where do you find these sponsorship ideas?
I mean, it's whether it be mine or our team's ideas, we all kind of come together. We were just in Miami, actually had a pre-show team meeting, just brainstorming of new ideas for next year, or improving on existing ones, expanding on them to for new offerings. Additionally, going to other shows. I mean, you go to other shows for the experience, for, hey, this show had a really great idea. I'd love to do that.
We are here live at OTR Solutions HQ. I'm here with my partner, Jonathan. Man, listen, factoring is an integral part of the transportation industry. Why is factoring important?
Absolutely, Rommel. In this economy, in this market, cash flow is king. Cash flow is the key to growth. If you have a young trucking company, or if you've been in the industry for years and you want to take that business to the next level, we're absolutely a company that can help. So I hope you'll give us a call today. Let us know what we can do to help you out.
Get the rest and roll with the best. Let's go.
There's one I saw that I'm currently trying to convince a team on, and that's rather than traditional, say, charging areas, you just plug in your devices, but instead having bicycle-powered ones. You plug in your device and you pedal a bike to charge it up.
I like that.
It's a work in progress, you know. Yeah, we've got the puppy lounge. They won't let me have my cat cafe because they don't like cats. I get it. Don't trust them.
Disrespectful.
Yeah, we don't like a good cat. But we're just trying to think, like, what's different? Or maybe I'll have an idea and then I'll bounce off the team. They'll say, you know what, that's okay, but let's think about it this way, and they'll change the way I'm looking at it, like, okay. And that makes a whole lot of sense. And we just roll with it.
So, do you guys, okay. So what was the question I was going to ask? I just forgot. I had a question and I lost it. So I'll just reset. Okay. This with the sponsorships, because like I said, you guys come up with super cool sponsorships and I'm always thinking about new ways. Oh, that's what I was going to say. How do some of the vendors and sponsors react to some of like the creative sponsorships? Like, do they like what is this, man? Like, how am I going to get the return on this particular sponsorship? And like, you have to kind of sell them on it. Like, how does that work when you're kind of pitching different types of sponsorships?
So it also depends on if they are the right company for that sponsorship too.
Got it.
We don't just want to sell to them just because they want the big shiny thing. It's got to make sense for them too. There's, you know, we've had new ones as well too, but like we have, for example, this year, a style studio on the show floor. It's a combination of a salon and barbershop on the show floor. So men can get a bit of a touch up or a shave. Women can get a styling or a 15 minute manicure or makeup. And the company who's doing that one, U-Ship, it's their specialty is kind of weirdly shaped freight, or they call it ugly freight. Oh, well, this is perfect. We're changing the perception of ugly freight, giving it a fresh new look.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that. That's cool.
You know, the mocktails are my favorite because as a sober person, I mean, it's hard enough to find something non-alcoholic in Vegas. So that was one I was really championing from day one when we first launched Manifest as, look, I hate going to a show. My options are really bad O'Doul's or, you know, seltzer water. So let's do better. And people appreciate that because I'm not the only non-drinker there. So we have some fun with it. And T-Mobile sponsoring it this year, and they're loud and they're fun and they're bold. So we're going to have fun with it.
Oh, wow.
You know, the puppies, I mean, it's the puppies.
That's like, always a hit.
Nothing to say there. The puppies. I mean, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun this year. I think, I mean, with some new activations, you know, we have the spa, we have the coffee lounge. It's open all day, which is always a big win for folks too. The rosé all day for the wine, you know, for the wine bar. And that's a real big part of it, that we're spending so much on these activations, but because the experience is something that you can't get anywhere else. Mm. And that's not even until we get into the food, the parties, the concert at the end, which I'm sure, you know, you remember the last, you know, the last one we had.
Mr. Nelly, right? Nelly was last year. Yep. So how are we going to top Nelly this year, man? Has it been announced yet?
I mean, we were thinking about Nickelback.
Okay.
But,
okay. thinking about it.
Well, we went with Neo.
Neo. All right. Neo. Good. Good R&B. Okay. I love it. I love it. I love it. Who decided on Neo, man? How'd you guys land on Neo?
We talked about a few different acts. I don't think I can name like who the runners up were, but, and you know, Neo was a good contender, you know, recognizable hits in the budget because still got to have a budget. I mean, there's, you know, we're not at the Taylor Swift budget yet. Okay. So we're
For sure. Not yet. Soon.
Well, one day we'll have like Beyonce and Taylor at Manifest. One of these days. Man.
That'd be crazy. That would be crazy for sure. That'd be crazy.
I mean, look, Wu-Tang's doing a residence now in Vegas. So you never know.
They do have a residence. And you guys are throwing it during the Super Bowl too. So it's going to be like, everybody's going to be there already.
Well, you know, someone's going to win tickets to the Super Bowl at Manifest.
I heard about that. What's going on with that?
So we're doing the big game giveaway because we don't want to get sued. So somebody at Manifest is going to win two tickets to the Super Bowl, airfare credit, 5 nights in a hotel, spending money, and a 3-hour VIP pregame party. Nice. It's going to be announced on site on the second day of the show. And anybody can enter to win. We have a number of sponsors that we're going to list out. You could enter at their booths. You could enter up to 15 times. You could enter on the app. So we're going to get weird. We're going to have some fun with it. And we're looking to do something like this now every year. Like maybe we'll do March Madness next year or World Cup or the Olympics. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I mean, the runner up can go to Fire Festival. But, you know, we'll have some fun with it.
Got it. When do you start planning the next year? Is it like as soon as the show is over? Are you like in like the next year? Yeah. Or are you already planning it now?
It's already being planned.
So you're already selling sponsorship for 2025 now?
No, we're not selling right now. We're just planning. That was something that I had to wrap my head around when I joined as well, too. That traditional shows, I'm sure you've seen it as well, start selling for the next cycle on site, if not before the current show.
Correct.
We don't do that. I don't even start doing renewals until about a month after the show.
Got it. Okay. Why is that?
My sponsors don't want to be sold to at the show. They're there to do business.
That's true.
We are going to start the process earlier next year just to give ourselves more of a runway. But we're never going to have a giant floor plan on site saying pick your booth. It's just not our style. If one of my sponsors wants to talk about reserving their spot for next year, we can have the conversation, but we won't do any contracts or anything on site because we don't want people to feel pressured when they're trying to execute on a show and don't even know what the ROI is yet to have to sign up for the following year.
Got it.
And we want them to really enjoy themselves, but we are planning now. A lot of things are going into that right now too. We have another person joining our team because could definitely use a little help. You know, we have some big goals for next year. We also have someone working with us in Europe too, because we want to bring in more representation internationally. Maybe there's some goals for expansion at some point, but we're really getting the process started early.
Got it. And typically, what's your retention on sponsorship? Do mostly all the sponsors return?
It's always a little weird to calculate because especially this past, there's been a lot of mergers and acquisitions and also some business shuttering as well too. Normally I'd like to see like 60 to 70% retention. It can vary a little bit, but rather than just returning, it's also those who are increasing their investment as well too.
Got it.
You know, I'm not just buying another 10 by 10, but I'm getting a larger booth or I want to do a sponsorship. I realize that, hey, I want to do more and I want to get more for it too. So it's saying who and how are they stepping up? And that's why we keep on raising the bar for ourselves of identifying more sponsorships that we can offer. Maybe some more mid-range price points too. Not just putting a logo on a thing, but what can we do that adds value that's not going to cost an arm and a leg to us or to them? So we can really start bringing more and more folks in on a higher level.
Got it. What's your most expensive sponsorship?
I mean, there is the keynote sponsorship, which starts at $150,000. But then people do things that where they combine this one, that one, another one. And there are more than a few sponsors that are in for six figures.
Mm. Got it.
But that really comes to just what's going to make sense for them. My goal is not for them to spend all the money. Of course, I'd like them to, but is that really going to bring them value? I'd rather them spend a little bit less and get what's really right for them versus spend a lot just for the sake of spending a lot.
Yeah, yeah, got it.
And they're going to respect that more too.
Oh no, 100%, 100%. How do you? So somebody spending six figures on a sponsorship. How do they see the value in that? How do they? What's you typically the ROI for a six figure sponsorship?
When it gets to that point, it's not pure ROI driven anymore. Too, there's obviously an element of it, but it's also aligning with the message of the show, with the industry being seen as that leader and being seen as one of the top represented companies in logistics and supply chain tech. So it's not just about closing deals. It's about showcasing new technology, about showing the different facets of the business. So it's representation and just aligning and seeing the trajectory that Manifest is going and saying, we want to be up here with that.
Got it. Now that makes a ton of sense, that just getting that visibility, right? It's not about like a closing a deal, like you said.
DHL supply chain. Like DHL supply chain and Flexport are two fantastic examples. DHL has been with us since year one. They've grown with us significantly. And one of the key reasons why is that they wanted to be aligned with the future of logistics. That's exactly what we're doing. Flexport joined us for the first time this year. We were excited to have Ryan Peterson join us on the keynote stage. And they've been following us for a while and said, you know what? We're ready to jump in. So rather than going from year one and growing with us, they said, okay, we've watched you and now we're ready to jump in and jump in big too. So, and it was just some big wins that gives us a lot of credibility too.
Got it. Are there more incoming than like outbound, like inbound than outbound, or are you doing like a lot of outreach?
I'd say I do a lot. Like I've never been one to rely on inbounds. So I think it's a lot of outbound because anyone in sales knows you create your own destiny. I mean, I reach out to people, I identify prospects because at the end of the day, I want to get paid. I want to build the event. I want to get the right people in the room. And I've chased down some that said, you know, whether it be going to them, going to their investors, their partners to say, hey, get me the marketing person or the business person at so-and-so because they absolutely need to be here. Like they are the right fit. And they were ignoring me. Help me out here. You know, it's but looking at who's making news, who's doing something unique, who is at other events that we think also makes sense over here. Because I don't just go to other shows and look for just everyone in their show to sponsor Manifest. I'll go and say, okay, cool. There's 20 or 30 of you that really make a lot of sense to join us here too. Let's see what we can do. So It's a combination of inbound and outbound, but I do all my own marketing as well. We definitely do have marketing support, but I do a lot of my own on that as well too. Whether it be identifying folks, you know, writing my own copy, just having fun with it, putting my own personality in the emails, having my cat join me on calls.
Got it. I saw you posted not too long ago on LinkedIn. It was probably about a month or two ago. You just were listing the sponsors, man, just blasting it. I'm like, man, this guy's he's a beast, man. Like what was like over 100 sponsors you had sold at this point?
We are currently at 301
sponsors.
Yes.
Wow.
So wow. I've got room for a few more and then we're done.
What's your cap?
Like, I've got about 7 or 8 booths left.
So we're definitely selling out for sure.
Yeah, we're selling out.
Without question.
Look, we're selling out faster than a 90s hip hop star.
I love it. Oh my gosh.
The Dr. Dre for trade shows. But
that's amazing. So what do you think? I mean, like what has fueled that, man? What has been the thing behind making Manifest so popular, making people want to be a part of it? Like, I mean,
it's just a team effort. I mean, we've got an amazing speaker lineup. Like Pam and Tansel just delivered this year. You know, we have like 13 like chief supply chain officers on stage. you know, over 20 or so, like C-suites, if not more, media representation, just big names coming to us. We already have some Fortune 500s who have approached us about keynoting next year for 2025. And so it's just putting together that speaker lineup, that curation, just new topics, just that word of mouth, and just creating that buzz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely. You guys have definitely done an amazing job of creating buzz, man. That's what it's all about, man. Making people want to be a part of the show.
And just having fun with it. I mean, like, you see the stuff I post on LinkedIn. It's that's me. That's my style. Everyone has their own style for doing things. I mean, I think that's so important for anyone in any kind of sales, whether it be a show, whether it be a car, whatever you're selling. It's putting yourself into the product too, that you're not following a script. You're kind of crafting your own journey of, this is the way I speak, this is the way I have some fun with it. So letting your own personality come out and really believing in your product too. Not like in an Herbalife kind of sense, but like, you know, really just
drinking the Kool-Aid.
Exactly.
You do all the sales, right, Dan?
Yeah. I mean, we do have, we have another, I mean, for the most part, I've done all the sponsorship sales, you know. It's a team effort though, in the sense that our content team, our other team, like they send me referrals to, or speakers that they also refer over to sponsorship and vice versa. But I do, for the most part, the majority of the sales. We are bringing on, like I said, another person for next year. I definitely could use an assist, just because I know my limitations, and I also want to make sure that we can hit our goals, and I'm not being selfish about it.
What's your sales cycle like? How long does it take you to usually close a sponsorship?
It really varies. I've had some that I've done same day, which is very rare. I've had some that have taken, some of the bigger ones have taken 3-4 months sometimes. And, you know, especially if it's like a long legal review process for contracts, that some of the larger companies, again, I'll not name names, can run into, that it's out of their hands, but legal has to do their thing and it takes a while. Yeah, I'd say anywhere between like 2 to 6 weeks is fair.
2 to 6 weeks.
Yeah. It depends on where we are in the cycle too, where they are in their budget. You know, I will sometimes put on a bit more pressure. Like now, I am writing people now saying, hey, we're almost sold out. Last chance to get a booth, like in or out, versus 8 months ago, you know, the messaging would be different too.
Yeah. Are you always saying I'm sold out, or are you just, because you're telling the truth? You're like, I'm sold out. You better act now.
That's my one rule, is I will not bullshit people.
Got it.
Like, I will not do that. I don't, there's gotta be some ethics behind what you're doing. Like, I'll show people the floor plan. I'll tell people if something's a wrong sponsorship for them, or if I don't like how something works for them, because that's going to come back on me. So.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you approach like sales, copy and stuff like that? Like, where do you get your ideas from? Like, just to like these emails. I know you say you put your own personality in it, but these campaigns you're creating, like, how do you do it? I mean, I'm trying to get the sauce here.
ChatGPT. ChatGPT absolutely works. I have lots of ideas. I'm not great on putting them on paper, but I'll definitely write a bad email, plug it into some AI to give me some better ideas and just improve upon my thoughts. But then I'll take it and play with it some more, because I'll never, like, you never want to send any kind of AI generated contact cold. It's terrible. But I'll play with it a little bit and I'll send it out there. I'll throw in some GIFs, some memes, because that's just my style. I have fun with it. And I just kind of keep people engaged. Sometimes, like, I'll use dumb holidays. I've used National Cat Day, National Fried Chicken Day, like, just National Pizza Day, just ideas to get people thinking that are a bit kind of not of the norm. You know, what's different?
Got it. What's a piece of software or a tool that you can't live without when you're selling? Besides HubSpot.
I mean, honestly, I use HubSpot, Gmail, and I use a mail merge program called Yam, yet another mail merge.
Okay.
That's really it. That's just a mail merger for Gmail, which there's a million of them like that. I just found that one and I liked it. But you know, there's different platforms for data scraping as well too, but that's really it. I mean, I don't use anything fancy.
Nothing fancy. Just keep
everything is just another tool. I don't really even use HubSpot marketing emails because half the time they don't get delivered.
that's true. We go to spam.
Exactly. So keep it simple. Keep the messaging simple. Get the point across and just have a reason for why I'm emailing. Even if it's a dumb reason, like have a reason for why I'm emailing. Mm-hmm. You know, and having some fun with it.
Got it. I love it. I love it. Go ahead.
So now when you start doing your marketing for Freight Fresh, just make sure you change the manifest name to Freight Fresh before you start using my copy.
I'm just literally going to copy and paste for sure.
Of course.
For sure. Just keep, like you said, keep it simple, right? This is what you told me to do.
Hey, bro, don't fix it.
What can people expect this year, man? What surprises you guys have? Because you keep on raising the bar, keep on leveling up. What can people expect this year? Because I definitely want to make sure that we're plugging the actual conference and talking about it.
Well, I mean, look, Super Bowl's in town. Neo's performing. We have an amazing speaker lineup on stage too. I mean, leadership like the CIO, Sally Miller, the CIO of DHL Supply Chain, you know, Ryan Peterson, the CEO and founder of Flexport, to name a few. I mean, C-suites from Foot Locker, from Schneider Electric, Beersdorf, PepsiCo, Henkel, Unilever. I mean, there's some major brands on there. Ulta Beauty, Serta, Simmons, Dick's. Like, there's some fantastic brands on there. One thing that I am incredibly excited for too is our women's lunch. You know, Courtney Mueller, our president, she spearheads that every year, and it's we're known for that, really just elevating women in leadership and supply chain. You know, Ratha Sharad, the CEO and founder of Flavor Cloud, is one of our speakers, as is Lindsay Kaplan, the co-founder of Chief, and she is an absolute rock star. And I'm
That's dope. She'll be there. Cool, Chief.
So I'm beyond excited for her to join us.
Man, that's a crazy lineup, man. Definitely sounds like some fun. I can't wait. And I'll be there. You know, you forgot to mention that.
You go without saying.
You forgot to mention that. Second time in a year, man. I'll be there, you know, enjoying myself as well. But I might jump on the stage with Neo and, you know, drop a few lines or something.
There you go. Go for it.
For sure, man. For sure. And this is not your first rodeo. You work with some other shows. What's different from some of the other shows you work with? Without naming names, obviously, but what makes it different from working with the Manifest team?
I think that there's a lot more collaboration going on here and really thinking about the experience first. Less about just pure profit driven and more about it's okay to spend money to deliver a really great experience. So that's always in front of mind for us, the attendee experience, the sponsor experience, just what are they going to remember? Good food, good entertainment, good programming, not just another rubber chicken dinner or a box lunch from a concession stand, but just little touches that people will remember.
I love it, Dan. I know you got to go real quick. Plug Manifest. Let us know when and where it's going to be, when it's going down, and I'll get you out of here.
No problem. Well, it's going to be February 5th to the 7th at Caesars Farm in Las Vegas. You know, it's the only end-to-end logistics and supply chain tech show out there. So anyone in any facet of the industry belongs at Manifest. And if you're not there yet, just make sure you reach out to Romel or myself, and we'll even together, since we live 10 minutes away from each other.
That's right.
You should be doing it from the same location.
We really should. We should be like, I should be in the kitchen right now. You know what I mean?
Wait, what you were? Gotta do something.
Oh man, listen, Dan Reese, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. You're an absolute rock star, man, at what you do. You know, I always reach out and just ask for different advice and so forth. And you know, you're amazing, man. Keep up the great work, Hustle Fam. Make sure you guys are attending Manifest this year, and also make sure you're attending Freight Fest after that, man. We support each other here. We continue to build each other up. So, Dan, thank you so much for joining us on the show. I appreciate you. And until I see you next time, sir, take care.
I'll see you in a month. Talk soon.
All right. Be good. All right.
If you're twisted, confused, or stuck about trucks, don't be dumb. This is the place to come. Truck and Hustle. Let's go.